after Tillerson spoke at that hearing and said he was perfectly prepared for the meeting and that the U.S. did very well at it. A pilot for American Airlines pleading not guilty after being accused of murdering three people in Kentucky in 2015. Christian Martin appeared in a courtroom for arraignment yesterday, accused of killing three neighbors. Martin was arrested earlier this month while preparing to fly a jet out of Louisville for an American airline affiliate. Martin's now being held in jail without bond. And a new survey says about half of all Americans admit using swimming pools as communal bathtubs. The survey done by Water Quality and Health Council showing 48% of those surveyed say they do use a pool as a substitute for showering, even after exercise or yard work. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
For over 50 years, Hunterdon Medical Center has been a leader in delivering comprehensive medical and health services to our community. Our staff is committed to providing the highest quality of care to our patients. If you need a physician, we can refer you to over 300 of the best. Call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Don't fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology. I'm your host, Chris Bianco, principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Every Tuesday morning from 10 to 11, we will cover new apps, buying advice, technology news, and answer your questions. Good day, and join me on Tech Today on HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
It's time for Legends of Success with John Resnick. Each week, John presents the most original success stories in America. Passionate and inspiring stories from some of the most innovative and successful entrepreneurs alive today. This is Legends of Success. Here's John Resnick.
And welcome to today's edition of Legends of Success, America's program that introduces you to our country's most respected entrepreneurs and acclaimed individuals. These are people who have overcome obstacles and setbacks to make it to the top. I'm John Resnick, and as always, I'm really glad you're with us today. Folks, it includes functioning with attention deficit disorder and dyslexia. As a kid, he was cast aside by his teachers and principals and written off as an incapable student after failing or being expelled from 4 out of 8 schools that his parents enrolled him in. Undeterred, Paul never gave up and persevered to barely graduate high school. And on a probationary and conditional basis, Paul negotiated his way to attend college at USC. Now, as many of you know, this is Paul Orfila, the founder of Kinko's, which is one of America's most. One question that I wanted to ask you, Paul: can you give just an overview for our listeners today, the Kinko's, the size, the locations, the amount of business it does, and then we're going to pick up back in your college days?
Well, Kinko's today has 1,500 locations, and we're in several countries, Asia and Europe and the Middle East. I think we do well over $2 billion in business and 30,000 workers, co-workers.
You're big, you're international, you're in how many different countries now, Paul?
Well, Japan, China, Korea, Australia, Mexico, England, Netherlands, Dubai, and Kuwait.
And I think one of the best accolades you received, Fortune magazine 3 times named your company one of the best places to work in the country. And I think that's quite important to you, isn't it?
It was very very important. I think that the idea, I don't like the idea of working for people. The idea is you work with people.
Yes.
Because the idea is to entice everybody to go in the same place. And if it's a for relationship, I just don't think that's as oriented as it should be.
No question about it. Well, what I want to do is on our first segment, we went through your life in your earlier years struggling with attention deficit disorder and dyslexia. And for the question I have for you, Paul, alluding from our intro, is that I would think that anyone who struggled with the battles that you had with the school system as a young kid would never want to see the inside of a classroom again. But yet you went on and negotiated your way into USC. What was your thought there?
Well, the draft was a big motivator back then.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I never really wanted to talk up to anybody. And I know if I wasn't a college graduate and I met somebody, I'd always have a little chip on my shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
And I just thought college was fun. And I knew that I liked business, and as a business major, I'd find myself. Because I just gravitated to that section of the bookstore anyway. And I was really looking forward to taking my business school classes.
So you've always been intrigued. Was part of your drive, as you look back, you know, in high school, junior high school, and teachers are saying you're incapable, although they did a test and found out you had an IQ of 130, but was part of your drive proving the naysayers wrong, Paul?
No, not really.
Never?
I don't think that's a good motivation. I think all that negative energy just doesn't pay off. No, my drive was because I knew I'd build a big business. And when I always knew that I'd, you know, when second and third grade, I figured I'd have somebody be able to read to me anyway. So I knew I'd have my own business my whole life. And it didn't really, that energy, it didn't really influence me.
Paul, you never once let those learning challenges, we'll call them, because obviously you're a perfect example of how they were not disabilities. They were challenges that you not only overcame but became stronger working through them. But you never let attention deficit disorder or dyslexia ever discourage you, did you?
Well, I was able to work with my skills. In other words, not being able to read is a good way of getting out of work. Kinko's was a very good self-manageable business. The relationship between the worker and the customer was so good. The worker got so much out of the job. They could see the work being done. They could contribute to the customer. They saw the sense of purpose, helping somebody get a job. That relationship was so good, I could leave the store. And by leaving, I told people I trusted them. And so not being able to read and having ADD actually was a blessing for me because my job at Kinko's really was going store to store to store and looking for what people are doing right and taking it, you know, and using it and looking for opportunity.
Yeah, sure. And Paul, this what we're also getting close to here is your theory and practice. And by the way, folks, if you want to read one of the best stories in your life, the book is called Copy This, Lessons Learned from a Hyperactive Dyslexic Who Turned a Bright Idea into One of America's Best Companies, written by our guest, Paul Orfla, the founder of Kinko's. But what you're referring to, and it's in your book here, is that you didn't want to work so much in your business as you wanted to work on your business. And can you share that with the listeners a little?
I was never good at these machines. I never knew how to run the machines at Kinko's.
Mm-hmm.
My job was always being across the street looking in. And with that perspective, I was always on my business. I was trying to figure out the strategies and ways of staying in business. And not for being inside the store, not being really capable of running these machines, it gave me that perspective. So being in your business is you're so busy, you can't get anything important done. You can't get any work for tomorrow done. Being in your business means you're preoccupied with the present and the past. Being on your business means you're worried about the future. And a lot of times our own preoccupation with guilt, our own preoccupation of self-importance, keeps you in the business and not on the business. For me, I was never competent enough to be in the business. I always had to be on my business.
Well, you had a different set of competencies. And I want to go back to your original location. I find this fascinating. And I want to cut to the chase on this part a little bit. The spring of 1970, you're in the middle of your senior year. Your group of students were assigned to do a report on Paul Brenn's Irvine Company. And you were asked to go make copies. An epiphany happened. Tell us exactly what happened and what burst of energy went through your mind.
Well, first of all, I've always been preoccupied with seeing customers and how they buy things.
Yes.
And so I saw people in line, and I was amazed. And it's a longer story than that. My dad made women's clothes. Mm-hmm. Over time, his inventory went out of style. I was in the vegetable business. I had an old, and over time, my inventory rotted. I looked at the Xerox machine, and I kept thinking, wow, I don't have to fight my inventory. I saw all the customers in line, and when they're in line, that tells you something's right's going on. It was an easily scalable business. And I remember taking a marketing course, and they studied the product life cycle.
Sure.
And I just kept imagining all the things you could do with a copier. And I knew I was in the beginning of a great product life cycle.
Well, that's an amazing, excuse me, it's amazing epiphany you had. You learned from your father's past business, and then all of a sudden it just came to you. Folks, what's interesting is about this first location, how quick Paul Orfila took a move. When we get back from the break, from going to make copies and see people standing in line, coming up with the epiphany of this would be a great business, we're going to hear about that first location. What did it look like? How big was it? And how did the start of Kinko's kick off in life to be one of America's greatest success stories? I'm John Resnick. Our guest is Paul Orfila. You're listening to Legends of Success.
Wouldn't it be great to see your windows in a whole new light? Do it right. Call your local neighborhood experts. Budget Blinds. You'll get beautiful style and personalized service for every budget. We bring the showroom right to your home, so you can choose from hundreds of blinds, shades, shutters, and drapes. Plus smart home window coverings you control with the touch of a button. And with Budget Blinds, we do it all for you. Just sit back, relax, and enjoy. There's a reason why Budget Blinds is the number one provider of custom window coverings in North America. When we say we have style and service for every budget, we really mean it. So let's get your home a whole lot of gorgeous. Get your free consultation right at home. Just go online to budgetblinds.com or call 855-BUDGET-BLINDS. Call 855-BUDGET-BLINDS for your free consultation right at home. Now that's beautiful. At participating independently owned and operated franchises only. Ask for details.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in a critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR-DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon.
Hi, this is Steve Forbes of Forbes Magazine. When you want to learn who America's most successful people are, read our Forbes 400 list. When you want to hear firsthand how they got there, listen to Legends of Success with John Resnick. Legends of Success is one of the most original radio programs in years. Legends of Success with John Resnick.
We're back on Legends of Success. I'm John Resnick. You know, other well-known entrepreneurs and legends of success who had severe learning challenges in their youth were Charles Schwab and Richard Branson. All these legends were labeled as academic failures in their youth. It's amazing what happens when you have the guts and the will to survive and succeed. Paul, we'll go back. You're at USC. You go to make copies. There's a line. You've got an epiphany. This would be a great business. There's a line at a copy machine. Tell us about the first location and how long did it take you to open that first location? How'd you do it and where was it?
Well, I saw the opportunity in April, and I was going in my fifth year of college. So that summer, I had a girlfriend in Santa Barbara, and I went to Santa Barbara, and I didn't see a copy center. So that summer, I looked for a location, and I rented a little location for $100 a month. It was basically a garage. And, you know, you don't have a lot of room for customers in the garage, so I made a little flap out in front, and the customers came. In California, you can do that. Everybody came outside. They never went inside the store.
Mm-hmm.
So I sold copies, and I figured I was lucky enough to be in the main artery of the campus. Everybody was driving by. So I sold pens and paper. Now, everybody the first day of school needs a notebook and pen. So I sold, put my notebooks on the sidewalk, had a sidewalk sale. I sold a lot of notebooks and pens. And then I would put guys with backpacks, and they would go to the girls' dorms and hustle notebooks and pens. Then also, we did film processing, like a photo mat, and we had a copier.
Sure.
But after being in the store, I noticed that the copier was by far the most successful product I had. And you know, I was lucky to leave my first business because I had to go 100 miles back and forth to college. So I only worked Tuesdays and Thursdays at the store when I first opened up.
Mm.
And after 3-4 months, we had a manager. I never had to work in the store. My job when I worked was going out hustling, always going door to door, and I love door to door work. I love hustling. So I was now petting out. I passed out lots of flyers. I stuffed many mailboxes. So that was the first year. Then the next year, I was stupid enough to buy a printing press and a camera. Oh my God! I didn't know how to run that machine at all.
Why would you buy it?
Oh, because in those days, it was quick printing, and the copier was tangential. So I was joining a Me Too strategy, which was stupid.
Mm-hmm.
When I went hustling, I had a whole panoply of things I could sell customers. If they didn't need copies, I could sell them copy paper. I could sell them toner because I was buying in bigger and bigger quantities. So in that 100-square-foot first location, I was wholesaling paper, toner, copies, stationery, sidewalk sale, film processing. So all of this worked well.
And Paul, didn't you say that your original store, actually I got out of your book, you called your original store was a hothouse of experimentation. I would imagine that you didn't have a real formal business plan going into business. Am I correct?
I personally believe a business plan should be one page.
I love it.
I didn't have a formal. I sort of did. And I would reappraise constantly. What I would do is I'd take trips and wander. And I'd always leave for 3 weeks. And this is the middle of my career.
Sure.
Or early part. I'd leave for 3 weeks. I'd go to the stores. I'd do et cetera. Because you get a clean break from your business, and then you get to look at it for what it really was. And I would make a priority list of things I wanted to do to change the business when I got back to the office. So I considered the strategic plan. I was redoing it constantly.
But isn't that important for all business entrepreneurs, especially the startups? You know, you start out with a plan, and there's so many great plans put down on paper, but in actuality, they never get pulled off, and you've got to be wise enough to adapt and change to become successful.
Exactly. The best thing you can do with a plan is make it, try to do what you can to implement the plan, throw it away, and then make a new plan every 3 months, because you need to constantly reappraise. I'm going to give you an example. I have a bunch of apartment buildings. This is about 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm talking to a bunch of students, and they tell me, I ask them if they would rent a microwave oven. And they all say, oh, yes, I'd rent a microwave oven. So I found a guy, and I was going to rent microwave ovens the first week of school. So I figured, well, why not rent little refrigerators and TVs and VCRs? Well, lo and behold, the TV and the VCR rented the best. So I figured, at that point, I wasn't considering going in the video rental business, but I ended up going in the video rental business.
And?
And that's the business I ended up doing for about 5 years, then we sold it.
Wow.
But I had no idea I was going to the video rental business. My customers took me where I had to go in business.
You don't intellectualize too far into the future because that's kind of dangerous, isn't it, Paul?
No, you do have to do that, too. No, I did. I was worried about the laser printer. I was always looking. You know, and this is a healthy dose of paranoia is very important.
Oh, couldn't agree with you more.
The people that wipe you out in business isn't the people you see across the street. It's somebody from left field. For example, the CD-ROM wiped out Encyclopedia Britannica.
Right.
For me, prior to selling my business, I was very nervous about the laser printer. I kept thinking, how do I compete with the laser printer? So, no, I was fully paranoid. And I kept thinking, in the early 80s, I used to sit behind the counter and I'd observe, you know, the people bringing us originals. Mm-hmm. How many of them were handwritten, typewriter written, or done on a print impact printer,
sure,
sort of printer. And I was always looking at that kind of material thinking, well, what's going to happen with the laser printer? What's going to happen when these printers proliferate?
Mm-hmm.
No, I was fully paranoid from day one. And you can worry about things in the long run, short run. That's what's being on your business. You're worrying all the time, reappraising.
Well, I'll tell you, if you become too complacent, no matter how successful you are, that's when you start to fall at risk.
Complacency, believing your own BS.
Yeah, right.
Also being preoccupied with being busy. Preoccupied with being busy, you don't see the opportunities. Now, I noticed my father, he had a factory, he made women's clothes. And he hired he always, in the early 70s, wanted to go into label denims.
Mm-hmm.
Guess what happened? He couldn't get it done because he was so busy. Mm-hmm. Now, what do you think a better decision would have made? Going to label denims and being one of the first people with label denims in this early 70s? I mean, that was a niche. It's unbelievably good niche.
No question. Well, before you opened your first location, quote you have in your book, copy this, you even said, I could not let myself get swept under by all the monotonous busy work that comes along with starting a company. And expound on that a little, would you please?
I got a D in this class, but I actually enjoyed I always went to school. I never cared about the grades. But I remember this guy giving a lecture about management and policy. And he said, when you start your business, you're always managing the business. You're in there every day being a manager. But as you grow, you get more and more into policy, setting direction. And I took that to heart. And from day one, I knew I didn't want to be in those stores. I wanted to be understanding those stores. And there's a big conceptual difference there.
Well, and you are almost forced to be a big picture guy because with being dyslexic and having ADD, you're not cut out for those types of details. You have gifts in other areas that you were developing.
And if you read these biographies of Howard Hughes, J. Paul Getty, Andrew Carnegie, they were never in their business.
No
question. They were never there. They were always on their business, away from their headquarters, away from their factories, strategically figuring out what the hell that business was all about.
Well, that's exactly right. No question. When you started out, did it take a lot of money? I know your location was 8 by 12 feet. It was so small that when you added your second copier, you had to put it out on the sidewalk. There was no room on the inside. Did you need seed money? Did you borrow capital?
I borrowed $5,000 from Bank of America. My dad co-signed it. I lost all my savings the April of the year prior. I had $5,000 I lost in the bond market, which really, it's very good to lose all your money a couple times in life. I did it by the time I graduated from college twice. I lost all my savings.
Builds character, doesn't it?
Yeah, it builds resilience. And
yeah,
you realize that things can go bad. My dad would always tell me, the biggest reason you fail in life is your past success. It'll go to your head.
Love it. I love it. I mean, that's just fabulous. And when you were starting out, did you have personal mentors?
So wait, we'll go back to how I started.
Oh, sure, please.
So I borrowed the $5,000, and then I paid up the loan from September to January. I paid up the loan. And then I'd go to the bank, and I started getting a credit of my own, and I had real bad summers. So I got cash flow loans. But I did it all for 30 years, we did it all on cash flow, internal cash flow. Bad part of that, which I really, when I look back, I really enjoyed the most of my business, is managing the cash. I really enjoyed it. And managing the checkbook to zero was a real fine art.
Yeah.
And how I would do it is, and it's very hard because the government really isn't your friend in business, because you have more receivables, you have more inventory, you have more leasehold improvements. And if government comes around every 3 or 4 months, takes all your cash away.
No question. Let me take a quick break on that, because I got a break to make some money here ourselves. And we get back, Paul, I want to hear how this leveraged out. Ladies and gentlemen, Paul Orfila, the founder of Kinko's, will be right back on Legends of Success.
Missed part of this week's great Legends of Success interview? No problem. You can hear each week's show online on our website at legendsofsuccess.com.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
A deadly tornado outbreak late yesterday continued overnight in Golden City, Missouri. 3 people were killed. In Jefferson City, Missouri, they're still assessing the damage.
Everything from debris from a rooftop into the street, uprooted trees. We've had damage to vehicles, roofs of businesses. There are several businesses on our south side that are trying to assess how much damage there is to the building.
That's Jefferson City Police Lieutenant David Williams. At least 80 tornadoes have broken out since Monday, and more bad weather is expected today, perhaps stretching as far east as the mid-Atlantic. The man known as the American Taliban, John Walker Lind, will be released from an Indiana prison today after doing 17 years of a 20-year sentence. He was captured in Afghanistan after the 9/11 attacks. This is USA Radio News.
There's no question you need omega-3s. But which form should you take? Fish oil or krill oil? Scientists have debated this for years. Luckily, there's a new solution to satisfy everyone. It's called Krill Omega 50 Plus. It combines ultra-pure fish oil and joint-soothing krill oil together in just one tiny pill. It's so powerful, it can promote the health of your heart and your arteries. And if that wasn't enough, it can also boost your joint comfort in just days. We're so sure Krill Omega 50 Plus will work for you. We'll even send you a free bottle to put to the test. The debate is over. It's not fish oil or krill oil. It's both. And now it's free. Just pay $4.95 for shipping and claim your free bottle. Call now. 1-800-399-6392. 1-800-399-6392. That's 1-800-399-6392.
On Legends of Success, you hear exactly how our legends made it to the top. And for today's guest, Paul Orfila, the founder of Kinko's, you can read it all in his book, Copy This. Folks, this is a must-read book. Again, whether you like business or not, what an incredible story of one of America's greatest success stories. Paul, before we took a break, we're talking about how you were building the business, and I was asking you about seed money, and you borrowed $5,000. And tell us again how you managed cash flow and expanded.
Well, in the early days, we had more of a liberal policy. I like it. It was tax policy more for the business person.
Sure.
We had these investment tax credits. I had jobs credits. If I hired somebody, I can get a credit for their salary. So we made money, but we were kind of, the tax person helped us a lot. So then we had Ronald Reagan and the Reagan Revolution. That's what really kept, messed me up, is they got rid of all the loopholes. And then you would do things. Let's say I opened a new store. We opened a new store. I'd negotiate with Xerox to give me 3 months free trial on the machine. So those first 3 months, I'd charge 2.5 cents a copy, and I'd blast so many copies out of that. I'd run those copiers to Kingdom Come. 24 hours a day, I'd blast those copies. So I'm building my primary demand of copying, and I'm getting all that cash flow from Xerox. And then because we had good credit, I always paid my bills. I got 40 days of my paper bills. I got all my major vendors gave me some time. So I could stretch my cash flow a great deal. And then I hate to say this, but Xerox had such a rough time billing sometimes that they would forget to bill you for a year.
Oh, God bless America. But they really became, which I think is another key to growing a business, they became a good business partner for you, didn't they, Paul?
Oh, very good.
You know,
very good.
And isn't that important for all startup businesses? Instead of, you see so often, I know bidding is important, but I think relationships are one of the most important key elements in anyone's success. Tell us a little about that, Paul.
Oh, I would be nutty. I would go to my lobby. This is when we got bigger.
Mm-hmm.
And if I saw somebody waiting in the lobby and they didn't have magazines and the lobby person didn't extend themselves, I'd get really irritated. And if they were waiting 10 extra minutes for somebody in our company for an appointment, I would get that executive and get real mad at them. You don't keep anybody waiting. And my philosophy was you make those vendors part of your workforce. And I could always tell when I got the loyalty of the salespeople. I'd say, well, I don't know if they'll go for this. In other words, he was part of that word saying there, I'm going to have to fight them on it, meant that he was on my side against his own company. And that's when I knew I could work. That was a good sign.
That's a very good sign, and that's an important lesson, too. We really want to drive home. You know, strategic alliances have never been out of vogue. They just haven't been promoted enough. And building a business, there's no relationship like long-standing old relationships in so many cases. Am I right?
Oh, yes. I've had the same accountants, the same lawyers, the same. I've got a whole litany of competent people. But what's unfortunate, when you start your business,
yes.
When I started my business, my percentage of working with competent people was very low because, you know, if the surf was up, I couldn't get anybody to show up at the store.
All right. You're right at the beach in Santa Barbara.
Yeah.
All right.
So as you work, you find cadres of people that are more and more competent. And the more and more competent people attract competent people.
Yes.
But when I started, I did not necessarily work with people that were reliable.
Well, it's interesting. Jack Welch, who was on the show just weeks ago, continues to tell his strategy of constantly getting rid of the bottom 25%. Doesn't mean
I don't believe in that.
Oh, really?
No. I think Jack Welch is a ruthless businessman.
Wow. Tell me more.
I don't agree with his strategy at all.
Well, he was saying, I'd like to talk about that a little. He was saying that if anybody gets fired, they don't get fired like Donald Trump fires people. He says, we try to work with them. They know a year ahead of time what they're supposed to accomplish. And if they can't accomplish it, the bottom 25% who are not loyal to the business and build the business, he constantly replenishes. Now, you don't agree with that?
No.
Tell me why.
I think, first of all, you always stack rank your people. Mm-hmm. You work in the bottom 10% or 15%. But you try to salvage them at all costs. And you do not have a ruthless culture where somebody is working with you for 20 years as a wife and three kids, and you motivate them out of fear. I think Jack Welch motivated people out of fear, not the joy of success. And what's indicative of the business Jack Welch built is I was just in Dayton, Ohio, and I went by the place where they built the jet engines. That gravel, it's an active factory. The parking lot was not paved. They had boarded up windows. Their little tubes on top of the thing didn't even paint GE. What do you think those people are doing? They're fudging their numbers they're fudging themselves to make those numbers. And me, driving along the street, an American citizen, looking at one of the best American companies, seeing something like that, do you think I had a bad view of America and General Motors?
Wow.
If you don't think enough of your factory to paint it from the outside, how do you feel on the inside?
Yeah, no. Well, that's an excellent
point. And I know people in real estate, several people in real estate.
Mm-hmm.
They deal with General Electric, and they're notorious. The credit company, at the 11th hour, they'll renegotiate the deal.
Really?
They'll shake your hands, and they'll renegotiate. I do not respect General Electric, and I'll come on record. I've written a column about it.
Now, wow.
I do not respect that ruthless culture of fear.
Well, I've got
a lot better off by motivating people. And fear is just a short-term motivator.
Well, I'll tell you. I'm motivated to get Jack back or Jeff M. out and find out what's the story there because...
I'll send you a copy of my letter.
I would love to see it. Love to see it. Folks, boy, we're getting some great perspective here. Our guest today...
I don't see how a General Electric... I had a rough enough time running a copying business.
Well,
how the hell can they run all these different kinds of businesses?
Yeah. Well, you know what I think one of the problems... I personally have a fondness for privately held companies more than public companies. You know, it seems to be two different cultures I see so often, and not all public companies are like this. UPS does a phenomenal job. FedEx workers are always happy, you know, two in the industry you're familiar with. But there's so many with publicly held companies. You've got such a drive for quarterly earnings and shareholder value that oftentimes employees are sacrificed. And I think you've got some merit to your statements, but I wasn't aware that I'm going to bring one of those guys back and ask him some of these...
How does this big shot realize how you run a jet engine business and a finance company?
Well, I've always
How do you run all those different businesses and be so smart to run a mall? Come on. I remember I lost my $5,000 I told you about earlier.
Don't tell me you invested in General Electric.
No, I bought it in conglomerates. Back in the early 70s, 60s, conglomerates. The idea was you're such a smart business person, you can run any kind of business. I had Belkling, Temco, Vought, Gulf and Western. That's a bunch of baloney. The good businesses are the ones that stick to what they know.
Well,
and General Electric makes a lot of money from its finance division. How do you know what's going on in that finance division?
I guess you won't be getting a loan from GMAC this week.
No, I wouldn't.
Hey, Paul, I got to take a quick break. We'll come back and continue this. Ladies and gentlemen, some great perspective from Paul Orfila, the founder of Kinko's. We'll be back right after this.
So you sit down and you do your budget, and you look at all your monthly costs, your bills, your income, and it seems like there's never quite enough. You know what would help? What would really help? Finding $500 a month to help balance things out. And that is the typical savings, $500 a month for a family when you switch to MediShare for your health care. MediShare is a Christian health care sharing ministry, and it works. No wonder more than 400,000 people are doing this now. And look, whether you're single or married or you have kids, this can make sitting down to do a monthly budget a lot more fun. Just think what you could do with $500 a month. It can cover a car payment or pay back loans or whatever. Join MediShare and go out to dinner to celebrate. Find out more. The MediShare people are so easy to talk to. They can answer any questions. They are super friendly. Call 855-90-BIBLE. That's 855-90-BIBLE. 855-90-BIBLE.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm chairman of the Ambassadors Committee of the Chamber. As members of the Ambassadors Committee, we contact new and renewing members of the Chamber to get their feedback on their Chamber experience and make them feel more at home with the Chamber.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon.
You're listening to Legends of Success with John Resnick. For more information, visit John's website at legendsofsuccess.com. Learn about the legends, upcoming guests, get contact information, listen to the best of legends, see photos and more at legendsofsuccess.com.
We're back on Legends of Success. I'm John Resnick, having a great discussion today. And again, our guest today is Paul Orfila, the founder of Kinko's. I want to get back to your story here. By the end of 1970s with Kinko's, you had, what, about 80 locations at the end of your first decade, correct?
Yes.
Okay. You have in your book, you're quoted as saying, finding key partners is the most important ingredient in staying on your business. Tell us, as you grew this business, how you would select a partner, people you liked. And I want to add that there is also a whole list in here, Paul Orfila's personality test in his book, folks. You got to get it. There's 11 points. Tell us about some of those, Paul.
Well, and I don't know how to sit still, so I could never do it at my office. I hated my office. I couldn't do it in the little rooms. I always took people out to dinner or lunch, mostly dinner.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to see what they were like when they were drinking. In Latin, there's a term, in vito veritas. In wine, there is truth. You could tell people how they treat the waiters. If they're terse to their waiters, that's a big thing. How they order their food, mm-hmm. I observed them. I'd ask them about their brothers and sisters and their parents. And for whatever reason, they have a beef to grind with their parents or their brother or something. They're not thoughtful at Christmas or the holidays. I X them off the list. To me, number one is if you come down at Birth Canal and you like your parents, that's a big sign of loyalty and if you get along with people.
Sure. Oh, absolutely. So that's interesting. So you're looking for partners. You don't interview them so much in the office. It's more out of the office.
No, out of the office.
Fantastic. In 1980s, you made a shift. So I'm trying to cover all this. You made a shift, Paul, from campus locations to small business market, okay? And you did one of the things that was incredible. You were the first pioneer in your industry to go 24-hour service. Am I correct?
Yeah.
I got to tell you, I had an experience with Kinko's. Not, maybe I'll bore somebody with this, but I was doing a presentation on succession planning at about 150 CPAs. 11 o'clock at night, I decided to change my agenda of a presentation because I knew I could make it better. If it wasn't for Kinko's, I was in there at 2 o'clock in the morning, dropped my stuff off. I had to make thousands of copies. Went home, took a shower. I think I had about an hour to get a nap. Came back, picked those copies up while they're still hot. Went to the presentation, made it in time. I never could have done that without Kinko's. I'm John Resnick. Our guest is Paul Orfila. You're listening to Legends of Success.
American investors lost $3.7 trillion of net worth in the fourth quarter of 2018. When your portfolio's value decreases right before or early in your retirement, it can have a crippling effect. It's called sequence of returns risk, and it's a risk you simply cannot afford. We're Sound Income Strategies, and we're on a mission to help hardworking Americans transform their hard-earned savings into steady, predictable retirement income. Call now for free, no-obligation information to help you get started on your way to steady, predictable retirement income. Call 866-913-1234. 866-913-1234. Investment advisory services offered through Sound Income Strategies, LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisory firm. Let's transform that risk into income. Call 866-913-1234. 866-913-1234. Sound Income Strategies, powered by the Retirement Income Store.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500. For more information about any of our programs or to join, NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Good morning, Hunterdon. This is Big C coming to you from HuntertonChamberRadio.com. The studio offices of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce in Flemington, New Jersey. Good Morning Hunterdon kicks off your day by providing you with local news, traffic and weather, as well as light topics through Vitamin C, Wake Up Call, and Chamber Chat. I also have many guests focusing on Hunterdon County community, business, and education. Listen to me every weekday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Good Morning Hunterdon, HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
Back to the Legends of Success. Once again, here's John Resnick.
Our guest today is Paul Orfila on Legends of Success, the founder of Kinko's. Why was 24-hour service so important to you when you started it? And were you, in fact, the first person to do that?
Oh, no. Other people were 24 hours.
24 hours in the copy business?
No, I was the first in the copy.
That's what I meant.
No. There's a guy in San Diego that did it, and I saw his business. But most importantly, I was at talking to a man who had a bunch of convenience markets called Sheetz's in Pennsylvania.
Sheetz, they're good friends of ours.
You know what happened? I was talking to him. And he said, you know, we would have these convenience markets. They would do maybe $3,000 a day in business. But we would keep track of sales from midnight to 6 in the morning, and maybe we would do $40 in business. So So we'd close the store from midnight to 6 in the morning. Mm-hmm. And he said, you know, the strangest thing, I never understood. Our whole daytime business would drop 50%.
Really?
So what'd the guy tell you? If you go 24 hours a day, your daytime business doubles, which it did. That's why we're open 24 hours.
And I believe some of the Walmarts do the same thing. I think in your mind, psychologically, you know they're never closed and you can always depend on them.
Yes.
Is that what it is?
That's it.
Incredible.
And so we open 24 hours.
Well,
so I leave the company and we get this McKinsey group in. That's why I really have a disdain for big shots. 11,000 feet baloney.
Yeah.
So they come in and they get their little stopwatch. They say, you know, you're not making money from 24 hours a day. I mean, you're not making money in the midnight shift.
Mm-hmm.
So what if they could save us $3 million a year or whatever.
Mm.
So what do we do? Lately, since I left, we cut back 24 hours. I mean, isn't the art of business, it's really an art. I think it's, business doesn't get credit for being an art.
Oh, there's no question about it. And
the
there's...
art of business is seeing what isn't there as opposed to seeing what's there.
Yeah.
In the 24 hours, the art was seeing what wasn't there.
It's so important. And I go back to some of my comments before. So many people think that business has to be laid out on paper, all the thoughts and all the procedures, and there's a lot of art to it rather than science. Am I correct?
Now, I think that I used paper and I used my pen.
Mm-hmm.
However, with the advent of the computer, people express themselves too much, and they don't know how to think clearly and simply. And that's a problem. I think you've got to take the essence of what the business is, distillate it, and communicate clearly and simply what it's all about. I don't think you need these elaborate plans.
Well, that's what I'm saying here. You don't get paralyzed by the details. Paul, let me ask you this. You created a great strategic alliance with Federal Express. Who approached who, and how did that start?
Well, that was after I left. But I remember, I always knew Fredericks was 25 years ago, we had a relationship.
Fred Smith.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you this. Tell me more about strategic alliances and growing your business and why they're important in any business.
Why? Because 1 + 1 = 3.
Exactly.
I mean, it's simple. And you got to make the vendors feel like they're your friends. And you've most importantly got to pay your bills. And if you can't pay your bills, which I was in sometimes, in the beginning, I'd say, I've got to get another copy of the invoice, and this, that, and the other. The best thing to do is call them and say, you know, I'm having a rough time. I'll pay you in 30 days.
Sure.
They respect your honesty.
Well, you got to communicate. You have to have some decency about you. And
pay your bills on time. That's the critical thing.
Yeah, what about the people that can't? They have a bad business plan, right?
Mm-mm. If you can't, just tell the people you can't pay them on time. They'll try to be understanding, but it's better than lying.
What was the worst time that you had, your biggest hurdle financially? Do you remember at the point you were at, what happened, and how did you overcome it?
I had so many.
What's your worst, your favorite story? You've got to have a good antidote.
I went from one store to about 7. I opened this print shop, and we did blueprinting. I didn't know what the hell I was doing. I had no financial controls in it. It was like dealing with a bunch of... you know, people that are mechanically inclined, that it wasn't like dealing with a Xerox machine, you just pushed a button.
Sure.
That almost bankrupted me.
Mm.
That print shop. I finally sold it. The good guy, Tom Cole, bought it. Then we had this copyright to go against us. And that could have really wiped us out because they had an injunction against us, and they could have put us down if they had an onerous injunction. But I got friendly with the publishers. And they wrote a real nice, they let us survive. That was a tough time.
Well,
how many do you need? I mean, it was a private business, always robbing Peter to pay the
loan. Well, it was a daily.
I had these bookkeepers, man. Oh, God. It was like going to the casino.
They go on and on. Well, let me ask you this. What's the best piece of advice from all the setbacks and tough times you've had? What would Paul Orfila tell himself at the worst possible time? How did you get through it?
All boats float on a rising tide. If you have enough money in the checkbook, you can survive. It's all about the checkbook. And most people are undercapitalized. And most people don't know how to save money.
Yeah, that was one of them on your list that you look for in a partner as well.
Yeah. I don't think you're a good business person if you're not a saver.
Absolutely. Well, Paul, listen, I want to thank you. I mean, there's so much to talk about today. We are wrapping up with this end of the segment. I'd love to try to get you on with Jack. Not to create a war, but I'd like to hear the two perspectives. Would you think about coming on with him?
Yeah, I would. I would.
Okay.
I don't know enough about him, but I just don't like the idea of motivating by fear.
Well, you
know,
I'll tell you what.
It is. I've noticed you know, my mom said.
What's that?
You can't make money when you're running scared. And if you're running scared, you're not looking out for the long term. And you're hitting, so that's why I don't like the ruthless cultures.
Yeah, well, it's tough. And then being in business isn't so easy. I think you could be tough in business. You don't have to be ruthless. But I think what I have to do is send you a copy of Jack's book. And send Jack a copy of your book and say, hey, we're going to bring both of you guys on. I think we have two different viewpoints here. Would you join us for that?
Yeah, I would love to.
That sounds great. Any last piece of advice you'd like to give to young entrepreneurs or starting out right now, regardless what their age, what advice do you have for them?
Well, there's only one measure of success in life, and that's that your children want to be with you and they're adults. So don't ever forget where the bread is buttered in your success in your children's eyes.
A little less than 100-square-foot space attached to a place called Carlos Hamburgers in Santa Barbara. Rent was $100 a month. How Paul Orfila spearheaded this into a $2 billion business, what it is today. Paul, I just want to thank you again. You did a phenomenal job, and I just appreciate your time and what you offered for our guest today.
Oh, thank you.
I want to thank Susan Wickham Beard from Paul Orfila's office, also the team here at Legends of Success, Michael Parks, our producer, and always the intelligent and beautiful Billy Resnick for her help throughout the week. And most of all, I want to thank you for sharing part of your day with us. This has been Legends of Success, the most original success stories in America. I'm John Resnick. We'll see you next week.
Mike Hewitt here. It's more than time we get the investigation of the investigators on the front burner. Not for retribution. Americans have had enough of their representatives weaponizing the law, the FBI, the media, and the Department of Justice in total to serve themselves rather than all citizens. The era of politics over justice has got to end. Democrats, Republicans, Independents, we've got to stand together and demand this. Let's find the wrongdoers without consideration of partisanship, class distinction, wealth, power, political position, and provide them with the due process our Constitution guarantees. If they're charged, tried, and found guilty, sentence them with the same blind justice. Follow the law. It's truly that simple. Anything less should be unacceptable to everyone. Find the Mike Hewitt Show on Facebook and tell us what you think.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
An outbreak of tornadoes striking Missouri especially hard late yesterday and earlier today. About 100 people are being treated for injuries after Jefferson City suffered a direct hit from a half-mile-wide twister. Lieutenant David Williams of the Jefferson City Police Department says they're still tallying up the damage and trying to find survivors.
We're receiving multiple calls for people being trapped in their homes. We don't know what they're are saying trapped. If they can't get out of their front door means one thing, but we do have debris on some homes to where they are not able to access the outside at all.
The storm system leaving three people dead in Golden City, Missouri, and at least one person died in Oklahoma. The Pentagon reportedly considering a request to send 5,000 more U.S. soldiers to the Persian Gulf region as tensions rise with Iran. And this is USA Radio News.
Lou Manfredini here, and this House Smarts Minute is brought to you by Home Advisor, helping homeowners find and hire the right pro for their projects. When vents become clogged or fans stop working, summer heat and humidity become trapped in your attic. This can cause your air conditioner to work harder, damage your roof shingles by overheating, and cause mold and mildew to form in the attic. The best way to clean them is with blasts of compressed air to blow away dust, dirt, and any loose insulation. More information at HouseSmartsTV.com. And now this.
Guess what? Right now is the perfect time to tackle those home projects you've been putting off. So come summertime, you can just sit back and relax. Home Advisor can help get you started. Home Advisor matches you to the right pro for the job in seconds. You can read reviews and even book appointments online. Home Advisor can help with any home project, big or small, painting, plumbing, even remodeling. Find a great pro now before the busy season hits. Go to HomeAdvisor.com or download the free app. Home Advisor.
The feud between President Trump and Democratic leaders only intensifying following some remarks yesterday morning by Democratic House Speaker Nancy Pelosi. The Vice President Mike Pence brought it up during a speaking engagement in North Carolina last evening.
This morning, an hour before Democrat leaders were scheduled to go to the White House to meet with the president to talk about rebuilding our nation's infrastructure, the Speaker of the House actually accused the President of the United States of engaging in a cover-up.
The president denying that there have been any cover-ups, saying at a Rose Garden event yesterday, quote, "I don't do cover-ups." Most American voters approve of abortion rights, according to a Quinnipiac survey that found 65% of American voters agree with the U.S. Supreme Court's Roe v. Wade decision and say it should stand. Just 27% say they disagree with that ruling. Most Republicans surveyed said they are against Roe v. Wade. And this is USA Radio News.
Rocket to stardom with the savings at Kohl's. Save on Elton John Rocket Man tees, only $14.99. Pick up family swimwear under $19.99. And beach towels are just $9.99. Plus, take $10 off your purchase of $25 or more. Plus, get $5 Kohl's cash for every $25 spent. Kohl's. See Rocket Man in theaters May 31st, rated R. Select styles, $10 offer valid May 23rd through 27th with promo code SERVICE10. Some exclusions apply. See store or Kohl's.com for details.
One of the biggest ride-sharing services is adding a brand new safety feature for its customers. USA's Chris Barnes explains.
Lyft is adding a panic button to its app that immediately calls 911. The ride-hailing company has had one for its drivers since last year, but this is for passengers. The app will also include an enlarged version of a legitimate Lyft driver's license plate in an effort to prevent passengers from getting into the wrong vehicle. The new safety feature is coming a month after a woman was murdered in South Carolina, allegedly by a man who was posing as an Uber driver. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
The acting Homeland Security Secretary heads to Capitol Hill. USA Radio Network's Tim Berg has the story.
On Wednesday, in front of a House Homeland Security Committee, acting DHS Secretary Kevin McAleen discusses the importance of budget requests.
The request would strengthen the security of our nation through enhanced border security, immigration enforcement, cybersecurity, transportation security, counterterrorism, and resilience to disasters.
McAleen also discusses the importance of additional resources on the southern border.
Put the situation in context. In April, CBP apprehended and encountered almost 110,000 migrants attempting to cross without legal status, the most in a single month in over a decade, and over a third of the total crossings we saw in all of fiscal year 17.
For USA Radio News, I'm Wendy King.
Hey, Pat, did you know between the two of us, we know how to screw in a light bulb?
Come on, Steve. We can do better than that. Well, at least I can. Tell you what, you sit there and look pretty, and I'll fix it.
Listen to you, big guy. Better yet, let's get everyone to listen to Home Sweet Home with me, Steve Bailey, Inspector with Brass Tack Home Inspections.
And I'm Pat Gregory, Handyman Extraordinaire with Taskman Home Improvements, every Friday at 11 a.m. Or you can go to our archives and get access to over 50 podcasts. We cover the basement to the attic and everything in between.
You can even call us at 908-237-0410 during our radio program about our home improvement projects. Remember, Home Sweet Home, every Friday at 11 on Huntington Chamber Radio.
From the basement to the attic, you're listening to Steve and Patrick.
home, sweet home.
Good morning. At 11:03, it is 58 drizzly degrees in Flemington. A perfect day for World Turtle Day. Forecast for today is severe thunderstorms this afternoon, the high of 78.